Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's Bongani coming out of that one, taking us to 9 minutes after 2 o'clock. I don't know the last time I actually heard Mawa hip hoppy Christian sound. Bongani coming out there with I Am a Jesus Freak. And it takes us to that very important time. Sometimes I actually feel for the Monday guys, maybe the one who wasn't listening on the day, Mr. Siakamela and I did our goodbyes and migrated to a different show, probably thinking, what happened? What happened to Legal Junction? Well, Legal Junction officially moved to Thursday's Heart to Heart. And I must say, this is definitely a livelier listenership, you know. I love that people really want to know. People are interacting. They're asking all the relevant questions, you know. And so I do believe you're keeping Mr. Siakamela on his toes. Good afternoon, Mr. Siakamela, and welcome back to Legal Junction.
How are you doing, Luko?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Are you looking very nice, clean and dapper? Not that you're never clean, but very, yes, very dapper today.
Yeah,
I
you
must
see.
Say.
You
What's
see
the occasion?
When you come to work, you must be
you
sharp.
It must look like it.
It must look like it because we're coming here to talk about the law and
of course.
We must there's this back then when we were studying law, there was this subject called English 100 for lawyers.
Oh, I got a distinction for that, by the way.
Yeah, you remember what used to be emphasized there?
Yeah.
The issue of dress code. To say you must always look like your law.
I remember very well. And that black and white attire.
Your black and white and stuff.
Yeah, no.
Judicial colors.
No, you kept to it, I must say.
Thank you so much.
Mrs. Siakamela, as we even begin, before we get into it, by the way, guys, we are touching again on what we're talking about last week. We did not have enough time. You know, I remember we didn't even get to case laws and we couldn't really get into what the Constitution says. If you remember the sources of law, Mr. Siakamela always talks about. So he's going to delve a bit more into that. But before we even get to that, got a couple of questions coming through today on Legal Junction. We got one actually from Emhart, and it says, "Hi, sir. My house was sold with an affidavit by my husband. Only signed an affidavit, but not me. It's still in our name. But now the ex-husband is married again. So I think the question is, what are her rights? Especially because the property is still in both their names, actually. So it's sold, but there was no transfer to it. In other words, this is what I'm getting. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Siakamela.
Yes.
She gave no consent to the property being sold.
Yes.
The husband decided, hey, I'll make an affidavit and just sell the house. It belongs to me.
Yeah, and which is not fair. But before I say it's not fair, firstly, Luko, we need to establish the type of the marriage regime they are married into or they entered into.
All right.
Because remember, we've got what we call the antenuptial with accrual system.
All right.
Then we have the antenuptial without accrual system.
All right.
Then we have the in community of property.
All right.
So firstly, before we can say much, we need to establish first what is the type of their marriage regime that they have entered into.
Okay.
But I see
the house is in both their names.
In our. So normally when you see such words in our us, then you simply establish that
it's
supposed to be in community of property.
Okay.
So if it's in community of property, what the husband did is totally unlawful. You cannot sell property that falls within the matrimonial space alone.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. It's an irregular step. It's a no-no. So what she's supposed to do, she's supposed to get the proceeds. Half of the proceeds
of the property.
Of the property after the creditors are paid.
Because that's another thing I'm sitting here and I'm thinking,
yes.
What could have been probably the terms of their divorce, or were assets separated?
Yes.
And how is it possible that she did not get a share from it?
True. And also again signed an affidavit. The question is, normally when you sell property, the documents that are involved, it will be your offer to purchase and so forth, not an affidavit. So I don't understand if this affidavit was renouncing her from the estate to say she's not part and parcel of that matrimonial property, mm-hmm. or what was the position. But in nutshell, what the husband did, it's an unlawful step. The lady has a recourse, has a legal recourse to can approach an attorney, mm-hmm. that can assist in terms of recouping or recovering the proceeds from the sale of that property.
Is that a type of case that you deal with at Siyakamela Legal, or is it, can you then also help her once she's contacted you to see who can assist her with this type of matter?
No, this type of matters, remember this type of matters, Luko, they can also be resolved through ADR.
Wow.
You know, I love
honesty, because you could easily say, hey, come to my law firm.
Yes, like, come to my office. Yeah. Let's engage. You know, some things are not necessary. Look, I was talking to my colleagues just yesterday. They were applying for a court date, mm-hmm. for a litigious matter.
Okay.
They got a court date for 2029.
Yeah.
So, yes. So our courts are so much congested. Certain things we can just resolve them by talking.
So far?
Yes.
Wow.
You see, because everyone wants to go to court. I don't know what's going on in these courts where people now wants to go, and we end up having such a lot of congestion in
up
courts.
Up to 2029?
Yes.
Sure. So in other words, the courts are actually also saying, hey, we're full. How about you start somewhere first,
exactly,
before you come to us?
Exactly. So that's where now ADR comes in, which most of the people, and it surprises me that even attorneys, even legal practitioners, do not take the process of alternative dispute resolution serious.
That's what ADR is, by the way, guys.
Yes, because this is a step. That's why ADR is one of the modules when you study law. So you cannot bypass it and just run to litigation. Then it says you are litigating in bad faith.
Oh, you're doing it just for money. You want
to you're doing it for money and to prove a point. But in nutshell, we can sit down and try to resolve the issues.
And show the other party the danger of the transaction they've gotten into with somebody else.
Yes, because probably even in this instance, for this listener, you'll realize that the husband is aware that he has committed an irregular step, or he took an irregular step. But is that thing of saying, I will see, isn't whether she will come with attorneys or she will do what?
And at the end of the day, then it gets dangerous even for the purchaser, if you think about it. Because should they die or something happens, one day this couple's children or even the gentleman can turn around and say, hey,
no,
that house belongs to me.
Yeah, you see, Luko, even this listener, there is this application in court called a spoliation application.
Okay.
Mandamand van spoli application.
These terms. Sorry, I had to laugh there.
Yes. You
these
see,
legal
so
terms.
This application, Luko, says you return back the assets to the rightful owners.
All right.
So that is the main aim of spoliation application.
Mm.
You took my assets unlawfully.
Okay.
I can bring such an application before a court.
Uh-huh.
Then the court grants that spoliation application that whosoever that took my stuff must return them back to me.
Oh, okay.
So that is the main essence of this application of the mandamant van spoli. So she also has that remedy.
Oh, I was about to ask, who has it? Is it the one who sold the house with an affidavit?
No, no, the wife.
Okay.
Also has that as a remedy to say she can appoint an attorney that can push a spoliation application on her behalf to say, my house was unlawfully sold. I am entitled to 50 share of this property based on the marital regime that I've entered into, but my husband has since sold the property. Then the court will either grant that he pay half of those proceeds,
mm-hmm.
after the sale, or the sale must be cancelled.
I don't know. Maybe I'm busy speculating here, Mr. Sekamela. How is it? I'm trying to figure out how she could have walked away, or whoever walked out of their marriage, and still had a property both in their names when the marriage is dissolved, enough for one to actually sell it to somebody else using an affidavit. I don't know whether my suspicion is wrong, but I'm wondering if they are actually officially divorced.
Yes, but by the way I see, he's married again.
Yes, okay. So why is it that the assets were never divided?
You know, Luko, it's common cause in practice.
Meaning?
In the books, they will say assets must be shared.
All right.
But in most of the times, you will find such instances. Remember when divorce comes, the aim here is to prove a point to one another.
Okay.
I want to see that person struggling. I want to see that. I want to break that person. Do you understand?
So then you break the law. You're told to give half a share, and then you decide she's not getting anything.
You decide to do away with the law. The aim is no longer about what the law says. The aim is to utterly destroy this other person.
Okay, so that we move on to the next question, Mr. Sekamela.
Yes.
I think my advice to this listener right now would say, look, at the end, Mr. Sekamela is going to give his contact details.
Correct.
I think it's very important for you to have this conversation with Mr. Sekamela.
Yes.
Whether he's going to have an ADR with you and the person,
the
ex-husband involved. Because also, I don't think now, because one might be thinking, because now he's in another marriage, and if it's in community, then she gets the property. But I'm sure things have to be sorted out first. Mr. Sekamela will clarify that to you. I think it's very important. My opinion, the sooner you do it, the better. The sooner you contact him, the better, and try to get clarity to this, because you are being robbed.
Yeah,
let me just put it there. You are being robbed to what is due to you. Mm. So please reach out to him. He's going to give his contact details at the end. We got another voice note as well. I'm going to quickly play it, Mr. Sekamela, and just do a bit of a paraphrasing on it, because I had somebody come and translate it for me.
Yes.
Môre, Janine en Wynand, ek gaan sommer net gou 'n testimony Friday doen.
Okay, no, that's
en,
not the one.
Ja,
that's
die
Here
is
not
so
quick
vandag.
Go to... This is the one, actually. Oh, where did we lose it, Mr. Sekamela? Technology.
It's Petra Small. Petra Small.
I think it was Petra. But yes. Anyway, let me quickly... I can't...
He has sent two voice notes, I see.
Yes, but the times don't really correlate. But the question was, in essence, there's a spillage where they live, and it is affecting her and the neighborhood. And the question, I believe there's bacteria and all of that, but the main question was, perhaps what right do they have in that regard? Can they take the municipality on? What legal measures can they take if they are entitled to those, actually?
I will, this one, for the sake of my love for environmental law, I will answer it with case law.
Come on.
I'll answer it with case law.
Okay.
There's an incident that once happened, Luko, in the Val.
Mm-hmm.
It was a case of the community of Val versus Shell Garage.
Oh, I think I recall that one.
It's an environmental law decision.
Okay.
Where the people in the Val had to sue this petrol station to say there was a spillage. They actually wanted to establish a garage on top of the Val River. Then as a result there was a spillage and the water was contaminated.
Sure.
You see, so it's a decided case that is there in Safli, where the garage was held liable for such environmental negligences. So even in this instance, they have a recourse.
Yeah.
As long as it creates health hazards.
Of course.
And the community, they are not happy about such actions. Then they can approach a competent court, and the court will definitely grant them an order.
Okay, all right.
Yes, because you see, these are issues that we don't take them serious, especially us in our communities.
Because you think it's just a question of service delivery, or they're not delivering in that.
Yeah, you see, the municipality is failing, and that's it.
Yeah.
But it's not only about the municipality has failed. Someone can lose a life as a result of such spillage.
Yep.
You see, there's a lot of health hazards that can occur.
Exactly.
So it's important that people should learn to exercise their rights and use the law when necessary to their advantage.
And I would also like she says, I believe that they have reported it. So it's not just a matter of we're seeing a spillage here, we're just, you know, lodging a complaint or a case against them.
Mm.
Complaints have been lodged and the municipality should have actually attended to the matter. So once it gets too much, your health is on the line.
Yes.
Like he's saying, you've got legal course in that.
Yes. The only way to attend to is to this, Luko, is by approaching a competent court.
Mm.
Yeah. You see, I think this one we can also maybe intertwine it with what is happening now in our locations, Luko.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe here on the Legal Junction, we also touch the current affairs of what is going on. This poisoning of kids from buying stuff from tech shops, Luko.
Yeah.
I mean, where are the health inspectors? Because
they
are the ones that are supposed to be checking those particular spaza shops as to whether are they compliant. So somehow we can say foreigners. But we are somehow being unfair because someone somewhere is not doing their job. You see.
And in order for you to see whether they documented or not, whether they're following regulations, you must have done your job.
Someone might have done his job.
Exactly.
Yes. So then now because we are losing children from eating those particular stuff, then
now we're
being xenophobic now. You see.
But,
to say no, these foreigners, they are saying...
We're now generalizing as well.
Yes, without looking into... Audi alteram patem, it's something that a lot of people are scared of.
Say that again.
Audi alteram patem.
Okay. I like it when you use these terms.
It's just one of the... of the things that which people are scared of.
Mm.
People don't want this issue of hearing both sides.
Mm.
And
yes.
it's very important to hear both sides because you can conclude about an issue or a matter based on one-sided version, only to find that when you're going to hear the other person, then there is a remedy and there is a way forward.
Because now that you're mentioning it, Mr. Sekamela, it could have easily been a South African with a spaza shop.
Yes.
That's not following regulations.
That's not following
regulations.
And so
your question is very valid to say, where are the health inspectors and those that should be making sure whether... Because I could be a non-foreigner, but still breaking regulation.
True.
It happens every single day.
Yes.
So let's not put blame where we need not, actually.
Yes.
The question is, were these stores inspected?
Exactly.
Mm.
Did someone do his job when these tech shops were established?
Exactly.
And I'm telling you, the answer is very simple.
Mm.
Someone did not do their job.
Exactly. Exactly. Sure. All right, so there you heard it, Petra. If you need further assistance as well, you're definitely going to get Mr. Siakamela's email address. Now, I see our time is going to run out again because we haven't gotten to our topic.
Yes.
But I don't think it's a big deal because at least we know we've assisted our listeners
on
the relevant questions that they have.
For sure. And that's basically what we are here for.
That's the purpose.
To make sure that they are legally inclined, to make sure that they understand the law, and they use it to their advantage.
So thank you to Frank Jacobs. He's always supporting and listening to Legal Junction. So we recognize you, Frank Jacobs.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Mrs. Sekamela, back to business. We're talking, you were still differentiating last week. You know, obviously, we don't want to go over that again. But just clarify quickly between a crime and a delict, and then we move forth to the pointers that we had not touched on.
Yeah. Remember, I'll, before I go to delict and crime, I'll maybe just rephrase again the sources.
Yes.
The constitution of the country, looking into section 172, subsection 1 of the constitution, which gives the courts the powers to declare any law inconsistency which rises itself against the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So even this criminal law that we have been talking about since last week, Luko,
mm-hmm.
if it can try to rise itself against or above the constitution,
okay.
then section 172 says the courts have powers to declare such conduct to be inconsistent with the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then again, we look into chapter 2 of the constitution, which contains the fundamental Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
So those Bill of Rights, there is no one that is supposed to infringe, whether mm-hmm. it's in environmental law that we spoke about the spillage, okay. whether it's in law of property that mm-hmm. we spoke about, where the listener asked questions about the husband that has sold property.
Mm.
But the Bill of Rights, Chapter 2 of the Constitution, is there to make sure that everyone adheres, whether in any space of law, regardless of whatever space of law where you find yourself into,
mm-hmm.
the constitution of the country, it remains to be the highest law. Okay. So that is the first source of our criminal legal system.
Mm.
Then now we go to other statutes, which these are statutes which are decided also by courts and by members of the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also another source of the criminal legal system.
Mm.
Then we go to precedents.
All right.
Decided cases.
Mm-hmm.
That is another space that is so important in our legal system, because you cannot say the law says this without referring to the precedents or to the decided cases.
Okay.
You heard when I was answering the question about the spillage.
Yes.
I simply referred to the case of the Val Reefs versus the Shell Garage.
All right.
Do you understand? So it's those type of things that help our justice system to be able to work and to satisfy the citizens.
Mm.
Then now we go to the issue of crime and delict. Firstly, Luko, let's look into the issue of the participants in the criminal law system before I go back to delict and crime.
All right.
Participants here are the police.
Okay.
That is the first participant, because when a crime is reported, it's reported at the
police
South
station.
African police services.
Okay.
So that is the first step. That is why Section 205 of the Constitution provides the establishment of the police force to say, why do we have the police? What are their duties?
All right.
And the other question will be, how do police receive a notice of a crime?
Mm-hmm.
It's either they are present at the place of crime.
Of crime, okay.
Or they receive a complaint.
All right.
From a victim.
Okay.
Or receive information from the informer.
So a tip-off type of a thing.
Yes, tip-off type of a thing. Then, or receive a request from the prosecuting authority to investigate an offense. Mm,
okay.
You see, and here, while we're speaking about the participants, Luko, there's something that I want to fix. You'll find that the case is reported.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it happened with experience. It happens with money-related cases.
Yes.
Where police will call you to come to the police station so that you can negotiate with the victim trying to settle.
Mm.
Police officers are not mediators.
Thank you.
And they are not debt collectors. Do you understand?
Yes.
They are job, when a crime is reported, they are supposed to arrest and investigate.
Mm.
That is why you will realize that the second participant in the criminal legal system is the National Prosecuting Authority.
All right.
Because after they have done the investigation, they must then hand over the docket with evidence
to
the National Director of Public Prosecution.
All right.
Then such a person, because he is legally learned,
all right,
will be able to read the docket and decide as to whether there is prospects of prosecution, mm-hmm, or not.
All right.
You see, it is not up to the police to decide as to whether there is prosecution prospects or not. Their duty is to arrest the perpetrators and to make sure that they are brought to book, they are brought to courts within the expected hours, which is 48 hours.
I love what you're pointing out, because have you heard of instances where they'll say, no, I went to the police, I laid a criminal case, or I laid a case, because yes, they don't necessarily know. But the police told me, no, I don't have a case.
They are not allowed. And I'm thankful about the legal junction, because we prefer to say things as they are. Because we also guard against abuse of power. You see, so they are not debt collectors. You cannot call me to come to the police station and negotiate about money. The police station is not a place to negotiate money. Oh, it's okay. A place where criminals are arrested, or suspects. Let me not say criminals, because I'll be now speaking against the presumption of innocence.
Okay.
Yes, let me say suspects are arrested and are detained. Then they are brought before a competent court within 48 hours.
Yeah.
Then the prosecution, after they have read the docket, then they will decide to say they are prospects of prosecution or not.
Is there a certain level of, I don't know if I should call it suspicion or evidence that they need to have in order for them to institute an arrest, or do they simply do it upon any form of criminal accusation?
Okay, these people are well trained, Luko.
Okay,
there's a special training that which the police has to undergo, even if they did not study law.
Okay,
but there is a basic entrance in terms of understanding of the criminal procedure and so forth.
And they go to training in school, so they don't just shoot. Obviously, they need to study at a
certain
level. Yes,
they go to training. Mm. There is a qualifying criteria that is used for their appointment.
Mm.
You see.
Yes.
So what they supposed to do? They supposed to listen to the complaint,
mm-hmm,
to say, here is a complaint, this person is here to lay charges,
mm-hmm,
and also establish, which this one can be very difficult for them. This one should be done actually by the prosecutors, to establish the type of a charge to be put to that particular suspect or to that particular accused.
Yeah.
Because it is the prosecution that is going to trial this person until being found guilty in a court of law or not.
All right.
You see.
Yes.
So that's why you will find a situation where maybe it's a charge of culpable homicide.
Mm-hmm.
Then you find that is confused to be murder.
All right.
Or it's theft, is confused to be fraud.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Because the prosecutor is a person that has studied law. He understands.
He's able to separate.
Yeah, the elements of theft
and
the elements of fraud.
True.
As to whether this complaint, does it qualify to be theft,
mm-hmm,
or does it qualify to be fraud?
All right.
You see, so the prosecutor is able to establish that. So with the police, their duty is just to receive a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Then the docket is handed over to the investigating officer.
All right.
Then the investigating officer must investigate, gather all necessary
information that may lead to an arrest.
That may lead to an arrest or even a possible conviction. Because what is an arrest, Luko, if we are not going to convict?
Of course.
That is why you find unnecessary lawsuits against the Minister of Safety and Security. Because he's the most sued minister based on the negligence that is mostly done by our police probably officers.
Probably followed by that other department that heals people that I'm not going to mention.
and also illegal obtaining of evidence. Mm. They are not allowed to assault people to get evidence.
True.
Or to torture.
Mm.
Do you understand? And this is sadly what is happening. A person will plead guilty only to find that he was severely tortured.
Yeah, they were coerced and abused into admission.
Yeah, you see, you get beaten until you have to, you accept. Otherwise, you feel these people, they'll end up killing me.
So I must give them the answer they're looking for.
You must give them the answer they are looking for. You see, so it's there's a lot of injustice that prevails in that space. But the law is here to sharpen left and right, to fix.
Mm.
Because, I mean, what type of citizens are we that are in a lawful democratic state which does not adhere to the law?
Exactly.
It's very sad. It's very sad because the same people that we look up to, that they supposed to be upholding the flag of justice, they are actually the same people that are pulling the flag of justice down.
It's true. Sure. That's really hectic. I understand. Sorry to disturb you. Got a very important question. Quickly, Petra, Mr. Segamela clarified that you obviously do have a case. It's an environmental issue. You need to approach the relevant courts in this. Again, I suggest that you look out for his contact details at the end and perhaps have more of a conversation with him with regard to this. I did tell you guys also that I've twisted Mr. Siakamela's arm, that if you are listening right now and you happen to need his legal advice, always tell him, I heard you on Radio Pulpit, because guys... Yeah. There's a rate just for you. I make sure I trust his arm with that.
Special rate.
Yeah, no, we can't pay exorbitant amount to your family.
No, we're a family indeed.
Here's a question, really not in this topic we're talking about. We're going to get back to it. Ntoleng says, afternoon family. I'm going to read it from this side because then we'll see it properly.
Yeah, I can see it this side.
Yeah, I separated from my husband in 2012, ran away from abuse. I was scared of divorce because he always threatened to kill me. But now I'm tired of using his surname and I don't want to be called by his name. How will I come out of this?
The only way to change the surname...
Through divorce.
...is through divorce. Yeah, it's through divorce. That's the only way to change the surname. But also, Luko, what touched the current affairs is what was decided by the Bloemfontein while we're talking about surnames. What was decided by the judge in the Bloemfontein High Court to say husbands of today
can take our
when
surnames,
they
guys.
Marry. They can take their wives' surnames.
In the name of gender equality.
In the name of gender equality. Sure. And of course, remember gender equality, Luko, it's a constitutional ground.
Mm-hmm.
You see, no one should abuse you based on gender or anything.
Yeah.
You see, so that judge, even though it's still subjected to the constitutional court review to look into it, but I don't know. What's your take about it, Luko? I mean, they say us men, we are no longer the dominus litis in terms of in terms of the surnames. When I marry, I can use my wife's surname.
Look, I'll say this now. Yes. There are certain, and there's a lot of things. This is just my opinion, by the way, guys. It's not a legal answer to this.
Yes.
There's a lot of things, as scripture would say, that are permissible.
Yes.
But also, not all are beneficial for us.
True.
Maybe what we need to really look at is, why in the first place was there a culture of us using the man's surname? Who's marrying who? Maybe let's look at that as well. Yes, we're married to each other, but, I'll talk especially in our culture. I marry into his family. He doesn't marry into my family.
Yes.
Ubud Vusi jokingly said, they must pay lobola then if we take their surnames.
Yeah, no, they must pay lobola. I mean, if that's the case, then they're supposed to bring the cows.
But I think in this day and age as well, I think what really matters also, Ubud Vusi, is to say, who's lineage are we looking at? What direction are we looking at? What do we want to invest in our children's lives? Whose surname or whose name should they carry? Because I think the whole surname thing came from a genealogy perspective, honestly, to say, whose son are you? And we know generally, whose son are you? Who's your dad, type of thing? As much as you're my son as well, as a woman, but it's always a thing, you would see, you keep his family name alive. But in conclusion, as we close this, have a decision as the two of you. What works for you as a couple as well?
Yes.
And perhaps peruse into scripture as well. Yeah. The whole perspective of, yes, we're leaving both our families, but what's the dynamic? What do you guys both believe in? I think that's what matters. That's my thing. But I think also, let's come back to indwelling. The only solution to this is divorce, you see.
Yeah, the only solution here is divorce.
And should you feel unsafe, I don't know if I'm correct to say this, measures should be taken towards that direction to say, how can you be safe in the midst of all of this if you still feel unsafe? But ultimately, divorce needs to take place.
Yes, yes, divorce has to take place. But also in terms of abuse, charges can be laid.
Mm-hmm.
Protection order application can be made at court.
If you feel unsafe, exactly.
Yes, yes. That will restrain this person from continuing abusing her.
Yeah.
So she will have to approach court within her jurisdiction, then go apply for a protection order.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
By the way, I think we must make this disclaimer. We are not advocating or basically telling Christian couples to divorce, but we're saying this is the measure that's at place for somebody who, in her case, is saying, we're divorced, literally.
Yeah, there's
just not
there's
legally.
Threats to kill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's just a lot, you see.
Mm.
Yeah, because you see, the other issue, Luko, with our Christian space, we are scared to talk about these things, especially this word
divorce.
It's blasphemy to our Christian faith. But I'm telling you, Luko, with experience and having done a lot of divorce cases, we also go through a lot as Christians. Do you understand?
Yeah, true.
It's just that we I don't know what we're trying to cover. But these are issues. I love this listener. I mean, the listener is just honest.
Yeah.
You know what? He threatened to kill me, and I do not want to. I did not want to divorce him. But he threatened to kill me. Then the question is, how do you stay
with a person who wants to take your
with
life?
With a person that wants to take your life.
I mean, 2012 was a long time ago. It was like 12 years ago already.
Yeah.
So these people have been practically divorced, just not literally divorced according to the law.
Maybe she's been hoping things will get right some days.
That's just another thing.
The guy will repent and live right, you see.
And it just never happened.
It never happened.
Yeah, that's true. So that's the response to your question, Twerling. Once again, I always encourage, we can give you the answers, we can respond to you here on air, but do contact the relevant legal body that will assist you in carrying this out and just fully advising you. You might have your lawyer, or you can even reach out to Mr. Sekamela for that, because he really just wants to assist us guys. Honestly, that's what he's all about. That's why he spends like a whole 2 hours, I will say, because he needs to drive here.
Yes.
By the way, guys, he's not even from Pretoria. So sometimes he has to come all the way to Pretoria to make sure that you get the proper information.
For sure.
Over to you, Mr. Sekamela.
Yes. Then we were still looking, Luko, into the participants.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about the prosecutors. I will refer to a case that justifies the powers that is vested upon prosecutors.
All right.
There is a case, State versus Mashinini.
Mm-hmm.
So this case, what it deals with, it deals with the powers that are given. Remember, I told you that when we spoke about law, crime and delict, you remember I spoke about the prosecutor being the dominus litis,
yes,
being the boss of the litigation.
Okay.
So in this case, the case of State versus Mashinini, this case was ascertaining, mm-hmm, the powers that are vested upon our prosecutors.
Okay.
You see, so that is why the police must investigate, hand over the docket.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after they've handed over the docket, then the prosecutor will have to decide. Then the other case law will be the General Counsel of the Bar of South Africa versus Jiba and others. So that case also speaks about the powers that are vested to our prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll also look into the case of Ruzani versus Director of Public Prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
This also gives only the prosecutors to be able to determine as to whether a case is prosecutable or not.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the police.
Yes.
From the police, their duty ends upon arrest and investigation.
Mm.
Then they hand that over to the prosecutor or to the National Director of Prosecution.
Okay.
Then the other participant in the criminal case, Luko, these are state witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that comes to testify against the perpetrator.
All right.
We saw him when he took this lady going to rape her. We saw them when they were hijacking this guy. Do you understand? So these,
yes,
are the people that are very important in the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is trial without witnesses?
Of course. Otherwise, it's his word against her.
Yeah, it will be the weight of the complainant against the weight of the suspect.
Mm.
Then there will not be anyone that will come and corroborate, because the law says one must declare and the other one must come and corroborate such evidence. So who's going to corroborate the evidence of the complainant?
Okay.
I know the law says the evidence of a single witness must be treated with caution.
All right.
But also, even if it's a single witness, it's still a participant in the justice system, is a,
okay,
witness.
All right.
So here we'll look into the case of Shabalala and others. This is the attorney general. In that, a witness must be a person that is sound.
Oh, okay.
You see,
mm-hmm,
it must not what we call a non-compos mentis person.
Mm-hmm.
Either a person that is intoxicated, or a person that is mentally unstable.
Mm.
So in this case, it was established to say, when we say a person must be a witness, what type of witness are we talking about?
Mm.
We're talking about a person that is sober and mentally sound.
Okay.
So this is what transpired in this case of Shabalala.
Okay.
Then also we look into what we call a prima facie, as we are about to close.
It's I think it's one of the most common, because people say prima facie or prima facie evidence, and
yes,
comes out a lot.
So prima facie evidence is established correctly when everyone has done their job.
All right.
When their police has done their job correctly,
mm-hmm,
and they've handed correct evidence to the National Prosecuting Authority, then that's when we can speak about prima facie, because prima facie entails the statements that have been made by the witness.
Okay.
The evidence that has been made by the witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So that corroborates the issue of prima facie. To say, do we have a prima facie case?
Mm.
Because when we say prima facie, it simply means a case or a matter where we can establish a conviction.
Okay.
Like I already said, the most sued minister is the Minister of Safety and Security.
Mm.
Because of what? Unlawful arrests, police obtaining evidence illegally because they are not allowed to assault people.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Of course.
And it's not correct.
Mm.
It's not correct. You cannot force a person to admit a crime.
Mm.
You bring the person to the relevant authorities because what Section 36 of the Constitution, limitation of rights.
Yes.
We may have rights in our job duties and stuff, but there is where our rights are limited.
Yeah.
Yep. That is why even when we are here on the legal junction, there's words that we cannot say here on air.
It's limitation.
It's limitation
to
of
every rights. Right.
You see. Mm. So people, yeah, you know, we've got rights, but now your rights are limited.
Yeah.
Same with the police.
Yep.
Their rights are limited because no one is above
the law.
The law. Mm. So instead of being the party in terms of promotion of justice, they now become lawbreakers.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Luko.
There's a lot. there's a lot. And that was just not enough. But we'll continue. I think let's do it until we wrap up everything, Mr. Sakamela, because we don't want to leave it halfway and, you know, leave room for assumption and, you know, misty, you know, information.
Mm.
So we're still going to continue with this. But thank you so much, Mr. Sakamela. Let's do this again. But before I let you go, your contact details quickly.
Email address info@siakamelalegal.co.za.
Can you spell Siakamela?
It's SEAKAMELA.
I'm Xhosa, I might write SIYA. Siakamela.
No, it's SEAKAMELA. Then they can also go to our website www.siakamelalegal.co.za. And then they can contact our WhatsApp, our law firm contact WhatsApp number 07830604 56 07830604 56. What did I say, Luko?
Mr. Sakamela, come on.
I need to knock off.
Sign up for me.
Yeah, it's 07830604 56. So they can contact us on WhatsApp. The staff are there to can reply them any time of the day. And thanks so much to all listeners that engages us even when we are off air.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really, really appreciate you are the ones that make us to do this thing called the Legal Junction, because to us this is passion. This is what we love. When we come here, we come with power and knowing that someone is going to learn something, a thing or two. From myself, the only lawyer of the radio, I love you so much. We'll meet again next week, Thursday. God bless you.
And ultimately, everything amazing comes to an end. For now, let's give it a name and call it a day. Until next time, God bless.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za. You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.